Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 104, and we'll read verses 31 through 35 together. Psalm 104, verses 31 through 35. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 104, verses 31 through 35. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And let's finish on verse 35 together. Ready? Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Lord, thank you that though the weather's been a bit yucky outside, sure is wonderful inside with your people. Lord, may we realize our place in history. Never again exactly will this group be assembled the exact same way. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. We've heard a lot about the birth of our Savior, how that Jesus put on a body that could die for us. Father, thank you for that, but most of all, just thank you that we have eternity ahead of us with you. Fill our preacher with your power, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, the music has just been fantastic this evening, and praise the Lord for it. Tonight, I'm going to give you a very, very simple lesson. My purpose is not to keep you long. I know you've had a long week, and most of you are in a food coma right now. And I'm going to do my best to get you out of here so you can go add more food, so you can go into a deeper coma before the night's over with. We read earlier from Psalm 104, verses 33 and 34 especially, and in the last part of the reading it said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. My meditation of the Lord shall be sweet. I'm going to use the candy cane tonight. Brother Bush, you bring me that big candy cane over here. This candy cane's not decorated like they have been traditionally, but all the candy canes are everywhere. We handed them out this evening as people came into the service. We gave some little pieces of candy out. I'm going to talk to you about it if I can for a little while. The candy cane, there are a lot of different legends about the candy cane and its origin. I studied many of them. Matter of fact, I did a lot of research on it, and it seems like the one that I'm about to share with you tonight may be the most credible story of where this little old piece of candy we call the candy cane came from. In 1670, a choir director, back then they would have called them a choir master. But there was a choir master or a choir director that was faced with a problem. It was Christmas time, and there would be a lengthy Christmas Eve church service. It would include a lot of music. His challenge was one that we face to this very day. The children in the children's choir would become restless during a service, and of course then they would cause disruptions. They wouldn't have children's services on a special night like that, just like we would this evening. And the kids would sit there and they would fidget and they would laugh and they would poke and they would play and they would whisper. And of course moms and dads would punish, but even punishment didn't solve the problem for long term. The choir master, he said, I've got to do something so the children don't disrupt the service while they're under my guidance. And so he went to a local candy maker. He seen a piece of candy there. It was called a sweet stick. It was a long white, about 6 or 8 inches long, a long white piece of hard candy, just plain white straight stick of hard candy. And he thought, maybe this will help me. He thought, well, the children will love the candy, and better yet, he thought it may take them a long time to eat, and it would occupy them and settle their behavior during the Christmas program. So he thought, maybe if I got some of these sweet sticks, gave them to the kids, let them eat them during the preaching service and everything, they'll do their part of the cantata or the special music, and then they'll behave themselves instead of making a ruckus during the actual service. But then he thought, Oh, no, getting this past the pastor. He kind of was faced with a no-win dilemma. He thought, what is a pastor going to think of me giving those kids candy? And then he thought, what are the parents going to think? But he also knew that if he couldn't steady or still the children during the cantata, that people were going to gripe about that. And he said, I just don't know what's going to happen. So he thought, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go ahead and give the candy to the children. But he went to the candy maker, and he said, I want this to be special. I want it to be a special night. And he requested that candy be made special. So he said, I want a bunch of those white sweet sticks. But he said, we're going to change them. He said, could you make me that piece of candy and put a crook at the top of it, or a hook? It would, he said, then look like a shepherd's staff. He said, this way, it's not just candy, but it's a teaching tool as well. Now, the candy was no longer a straight piece of hard candy. It's a piece of hard candy with a little hook at the top, and now it looks like a shepherd's staff. Then, somewhere down the line, there were other extras added to the candy. They added some red stripes to teach about the blood of Jesus Christ. Then, of course, a natural teaching that came was that the white in that candy stick pictured the clean white purity of Jesus Christ. And then finally, the addition of the red stripes, they actually added three red stripes. Originally, the candy cane would have been painted with three red stripes, and the three red stripes not only pictured the blood of Jesus Christ, but the three red stripes pictured the Trinity of God. One stripe for God the Father, one stripe for God the Son, and one stripe for God the Holy Spirit. Well, right before the Christmas Eve service, the choir master called all the children together. He taught them the lesson behind the candy cane. And he gave them his new invention. They had done their part in the choir, and then they opened up their candy, and they sat there. Of course, the children sat mesmerized with this new candy that had been delivered to them and the story that the choir master was telling them. The congregation was delighted, and that because there was no interruptions during the service that night. The pastor and parents were enamored with the biblical truth and the practical solution that the choir master had come up with. And that's where most people and most of the traditional or the history of the candy cane comes from, and that's the story behind it. If I can for a little while, I'd like to take that story, and I want to teach you a very simple lesson tonight about the candy cane, using the same lessons that those children were probably taught that night. First of all, I want you to be reminded that the candy and the candy cane, it gave us a truth about Jesus being holy. You see, it started out as a white, hard piece of candy. They call it a white sweet stick. And that white piece of candy pictured, and the children that night were taught about the purity and the holiness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here the Bible tells us the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was without blemish. And He was without spot. Folks, never be ashamed of the fact that our Savior was a perfect Savior. He was the perfect Lamb of God. That white stick pictured His purity. It pictured the cleanness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 3:5, and you know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. That means there was no sins committed by Jesus Christ. You know that there are actually vile rebels in history that tried to say that Jesus Christ had an illicit relationship with Mary Magdalene. Well, that person is a liar. Jesus Christ was pure. Jesus Christ was holy. Jesus Christ was as white as the snow. There was no sin in Him. Zero sin. He was perfect. He was sinless. And I thank God that we sing, O Holy Child of Bethlehem. That night, the choir master was able to point to the white portion of the candy cane and say to the children, our Savior was holy and clean and pure. And let you and I be reminded when we see that little symbol of the candy cane, when you look at that white, be reminded of that Holy Child of Bethlehem. Secondly, I noticed that they learned from the candy cane the truth of the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. The red stripes taught of the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. His clean blood cleanses you and I. 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Listen, folks, that red on there, whether history tells the truth or not, that red can picture the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that in the new songbooks and the liberal denominations, they're taking the songs about the blood out? They say that's gory. They want to take the blood out of something, take it out of Hollywood and all the trash and all the video games that we're selling to our children, and put the blood back in the old songbook that sings about the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Hey, no other fount I know. Hey, we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You see, He was born of a virgin. And being virgin born is a major part of His blood's purity. He was not born of man's blood. You see, man's blood being passed through the ages. Adam was a sinner. And every descendant, and we're all descendants of Adam. Adam and Eve had sinned, and now the blood was tainted by man. Jesus Christ was not born of a man's blood. Joseph, the husband of Mary, was not the Father of Jesus Christ. God was the Father of Jesus Christ. And it was God's blood. Oh, that's precious blood. That's perfect blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. That's the blood. You see, those children could have been taught that the white of the candy cane pictured the holiness and the purity of the Savior. They could be taught that the red on the candy cane would picture the blood of Jesus Christ. But not only that, the very first addition made to that straight white candy stick was that they put the crook at the top, or the little hook at the top. That hook at the top, of course, was to teach of the shepherd and the shepherd's place in our spiritual lives. Of course, we're reminded then of the shepherds that were there at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, and the North Star and Bethlehem in the manger. Luke chapter 2, verse number 20 says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. You see, there were some shepherds that sought Him, and when they found Him, they glorified Him. Let me remind everybody here tonight, if you found Jesus Christ as your Savior, be like the shepherd. You better glorify Him. The fact that you're saved tonight, it comes because He was white. He was clean. He shed His holy blood for you and I. And we can be just like the shepherds. We ought to walk away after having found Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We ought to glorify God. We ought to say amen to the fact that He was holy, and amen to that blood that was shed for us. See, that little hook at the top reminded us of the shepherds. These shepherds glorify God. The Bible teaches us also that Jesus is the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Thank God for the leading of Jesus Christ. A shepherd leads its flocks. I'm glad I'm a lamb. I'm glad I'm a lamb. I'm glad that He's my shepherd. You say, I don't like all this Bible preaching. Let me explain something. Goats don't usually like sheep food. You see, the Bible, that's sheep food. Why? He's our shepherd. This is the bread of life. And I'm glad that I have a shepherd that leads me. I'm glad that I have a shepherd that cares for me. He's the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And as you study shepherds, we find out that shepherds are there to help and to lead. The honor of my lifetime is that the Bible teaches that a pastor is an under-shepherd. He's a shepherd to the people of God. Jeremiah 23:4, it says, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be laughing, saith the Lord. It's speaking of an actual man that God allows to be a shepherd to the people. Let me say, I have the privilege of being the shepherd to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. There are men in here that you love what you do, but I will tell you, it'll be hard for you to find anybody on the face of the earth that loves what he does more than your pastor loves what I do. I love shepherding these people. I love shepherding you. I love being the shepherd of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. There is no place that I would rather be than be the shepherd of this great church. You see, that night, the choir master, he was able to talk about the white purity in the candy cane, and then the red blood in the candy cane, and then the hook that pictured the shepherd. Shepherds would use that staff that little hook on there, could actually use that and put it around the sheep's neck and pull them possibly away from a snake that could bite them. Why? Well, hey, and that's part of the shepherd's job, is to protect us from the snake. So don't get upset when a shepherd stands up here and says, "Watch out! Devil's out there. He's a snake. He's like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour." When the pastor preaches against sin, he's not mad at you. He's mad at sin. And he's trying to get you to wake up and open your eyes so the sheep don't get attacked by the lion. And that staff was used to protect the sheep. And so, the shepherd's story was told as a result of the crook that was added to the sweet stick. But not only that, notice that they learn from the candy cane the biblical teaching of the Trinity. They say that for some time, and though it's not this way anymore, and the candy cane that I have here, it's got three different kinds of stripes on it, though maybe they don't make them like that anymore, but when they originally started painting the stripes on the candy cane, they would paint three red stripes. Remembering, the stripes picture the blood, but wait, there were three stripes. And the three stripes were to picture our triune God. In other words, the Trinity, the Godhead. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." You say, "I don't understand how we can have one God, but yet He is a triune God. There are three parts of Him." I've described it a million times. And the easiest illustration for all of us to remember is just like an egg. There's a shell, there's a white, and there's a yolk. And that is a complete egg. And our God is a complete God. There are three parts of Him. You say, "I don't get it." Really and honestly, you don't need to get it. You just need to accept it by faith. God said He's a three-part God. That means He's a three-part God. And if I could figure everything out about God, I'd be as smart as God. Now, we'd all be in trouble. I'm glad my God's so big I can't understand everything about Him. But they put three stripes, and it would picture the Trinity. We are to believe that our God is a three-part God. But not only that, we see here the teaching that the children were not to disrupt the preaching of God's Word. In the story, the idea was, we've got to make sure that the children behave. We've got to make sure that the children pay close attention. You say, why? Jesus loves the little children. Jesus wants them to learn. Hey, children need to be corrected. Children need to be given guidelines. Children need to be taught. Children need they need to be taught to pay attention and listen to the preaching. Their life depends on it. Their life depends on it. And that means all of us, as we rear the children, let's make sure we teach them to pay attention during church. And hey, and we used to at home when our children were growing up, we used to practice. We would let the children sit on the couch and put a Bible on their laps and teach them how to pay attention during church and teach them how to sit still. But you look back traditionally, they were rearing their children and disciplining their children, and they were concerned that the children didn't run wild. We have a lot of good children around here, and I thank God for that. Rarely is there ever the slightest disturbance in church with the children. I thank God for it. But let me tell you, when they reach that age there at 3 or 4 years of age and they're stepping out of the nursery and coming into church, there's a lot for them to learn. And we need to be patient with them. But thank God, we see here historically, they were concerned that the children paid attention during church. Then I see here, number 6, it is said that traditionally, and tradition has passed on to us, that if you turn the candy cane upside down, there's a J. And of course, that J stands for Jeff. No, I'm sorry. That J stands for Jesus. This should remind all of us to keep Jesus in Christmas. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." There is no name in history as important as the name of Jesus. That name above every name, that name of Jesus. You know, we never, folks, be ashamed of using the name Jesus. And don't be going around using his name in your cursing and in your cuss words. You want to use somebody's name in a cuss word, use your mother-in-law, but don't be using Jesus. I can say that. My mother-in-law is not here. You mean if your mother-in-law is here, say, "Oh, that's bad. The name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. Let's sing about Jesus. Let me say something. My mom is here tonight. I love her very, very much. I love my mom. I love my dad. I love my children. I love my wife. I love my church. But I must tell all of you, there's nobody that I love like I love Jesus. We sang the song earlier, Jesus will be what makes it heaven to me. I've been serving Him for a long time. He and I have gone through the wildernesses and the deserts and the valleys. And one of these days, I'll be with Him. I'll be glad when the battle's over. I'll be glad. And I'll tell you this, Brother Aaron, I'll be glad when Hollywood has to kneel and bow to Jesus Christ. And I'll be glad when all the liberals that are destroying our country have to bow and say, "Jesus Christ is Lord." I'll be glad. And I look forward to that part of heaven. But I just look forward to being with Jesus. I enjoy being with Him now as I have that privilege on a daily basis. But it's just going to be special. You and I have been invited to God's house. One of these days, we'll celebrate Christmas over at Jesus' house. We'll see what it's really all about. We'll be reminded of His purity. We'll be reminded of His blood. We'll see that the Trinity, it was all true. Jesus may say, you turn that candy cane upside down and you see the J, and the J so well reminds us that this is a Christmas time is a time to be reminded of Jesus. And then finally, the hanging of the candy cane on the Christmas tree. I don't know if people do it much anymore, but of course that candy cane has got a little hook that can be put on the branch of the Christmas tree, and it is there and hung on that tree to remind us that Jesus Christ hung on an old rugged cross. He hung on a tree to save us. It is said that the candy cane was first used as a Christmas ornament in 1847 by a man in Wooster, Ohio. He hung the candy cane on the tree to remind people that the J Jesus hung on a tree for you and for me. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." That baby that was born in the manger, that baby that came to us in Bethlehem, he came to die. Born into a wooden manger, and then he went into heaven from a wooden tree. He was born to die. So when you see the candy cane hanging on the tree, be reminded that reminds us that our Jesus hung on a tree where He died for us. I don't know all of the history of the candy cane. I do know this. I know it's something that you and I see at this time of the year over and over and over again. I do believe that much of what I've told you tonight is validated. But even if it were not, everything that's been taught tonight is scriptural. We do have a holy Jesus. He did have pure blood. He is part of the Godhead. He does want to save us. He is the shepherd of His people. It's true that Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And it's true that Jesus hung on a tree for you and I. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted my Jesus, I've got good news for you. He loves you. And as you have celebrated Christmas, and I'm glad that you have, if you do not know you're on your way to heaven, why don't you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight? He was pure. He died for you. His blood can wash away your sin. You too can go to heaven. We've sung about Him. We've celebrated His birth. But if you're not saved, why don't you get saved this evening? If you are saved, why don't you bask in the love of God and realize that we can even be reminded of our Jesus in a simple candy cane. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.